It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pound for Pound. I am your host for this week, Andrew Canary, and I am alongside my main man, Mahdi Dembele. Always a great conversation with this guy. I'm always excited to talk some cage. And this week, we actually didn't have any UFC fights, took a bit of a break. Instead, we had some PFL fights, some other news, and we also had a bit of a boxing catastrophe, maybe how you want to put it, maybe a bit of a snooze fest. We'll get into it. But before that, Mahdi, how are you doing?
Andrew, you know what? You're my main guy. I love talking this combat sports stuff with you. And I'm good. I'm excited for everything we're going to be talking about today. Like, we could get into it.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be a great episode. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, off the back of that, I just want to hop right into this PFL card, which was the culmination of their entire season. They did that to, you know, give a little context to our listeners out there. They do their promotion a bit differently than the UFC does. Instead of just having set fights in a championship like normal boxing, kind of that type of structure, instead they do this kind of season based like structure, and essentially how you perform throughout the season indicates how many points you get, and based on that you enter the playoffs and then eventually fight for the championship belt if you make it that far. And the grand prize is $1 million. So that is something that is actually a very cool kind of extra little caveat to it that actually the UFC doesn't have. I actually kind of like that has an option, or, you know, these fighters actually have an option to make some real big cash. But yeah, it was a great, great event to highlight one of the big finishes. Olivier Aubin-Mercier wins the PFL Lightweight Championship for the second year in a row. That makes him a person now that not only got $1 million last year, but $1 million this year too, which is crazy. I mean, he's cashing in that money. And it's also crazy just to see a former UFC fighter that kind of, like, you know, pitter-patter down his career to go on this huge run in the PFL and be as big of a success as he is. But honestly, though, to be quite honest, the entire PFL event was just heightened by the fact of this massive news that just happened this past week. And that was the PFL officially acquires Bellator. And there's so many thoughts going on with this one, Mahdi. I mean, it was came out that there was rumors that PFL was interested in buying Bellator a couple months ago, earlier in the year, but then those rumors kind of subsided. They kind of seemed like they pitter-pattered out. Even Dana White commented on them and said, like, PFL is like idiots if they try to buy Bellator. Like, I would never buy that product. So then everything kind of died down after that. And then out of nowhere, it comes out that they actually went through with it. So, Mahdi, I just want your take. I mean, it's a little sad to see that Bellator is gone now, but just the take on this new acquisition.
You know, it's always hard to see your heroes fall. It's always like, it's like in soccer when they can't play in the big leagues anymore, they end up in the MLS. But it turns out that these fighters are still making a name out for themselves. And I'm so happy because the Bellator has so much to offer, and so does the PFL. And they could make fight. I don't want to say that they could compete with the UFC, because UFC is just, it's the biggest MMA promotion on the face of the planet. They have player institutes all over the planet. They're expanded to Africa and whatever. They are the top dog. But the PFL is not far behind. I mean, they have so many fighters who've had experience in the UFC and upcoming fighters as well, that they'll be able to sell fights. They have a bunch of fun fighters, as you said, Andrew, as we were talking earlier today. They got guys that can sell. And what they'll be able to do is draw the casual fan away from the UFC. I think that's most important, and open up the new gates to MMA fans that will start as PFL fans and probably make their way on to UFC fans first, but they'll be able to grab those casual eyes first. So I have no beef with it. Again, Bellator has been a lower promotion, so why not? It's something that you try. It's something that you go through with, and then you just see where it goes from. I mean, Bellator, for all the crappiness that it gets, I mean, Chael Sonnen fought in it. Chael Sonnen, Wanderlei Silva, these are household names. So I'm just excited to see what kind of fights that they could pull out. We were just talking about his name escapes me already.
Ryan Bader, possibly?
Excuse me?
Maybe Ryan Bader, possibly?
No, Cedric Doumbé.
Yeah, the
Doumbé, he's an exciting fighter. Yeah, there's so many guys in this that could make a great fight and make it sell well. So, I mean, for PFL, why not? You already got Ngannou. Just try to get as much as you can.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. I mean, and off the back of that, it just seems like that they're definitely going down that whole, I guess, road of creating this pipeline, which I'm glad that you highlighted that, Mahdi, because I didn't honestly really think about that, especially considering how they now have Francis Ngannou, they now have Jake Paul getting some of that celebrity boxing in the mix. So it seems like what they're trying to do is like make the most fun fights possible to then get people into the sport. But yeah, just going through the current champions of Bellator, I mean, there's some really interesting fighters here. We got heavyweight champion Ryan Bader, who had a long stint in the UFC. I mean, I'm sure if you go back, you could see his clips of him like mouthing off with Daniel Cormier. That was like a whole saga.
I won Ryan Bader. No.
Exactly. The easiest fight. But anyway, so fun. But I mean, also, like, keep going down this list. I mean, we got Vadim Nemkov, who is Fedor's protege. We got Usman Nurmagomedov, another fantastic fighter, Patricio Pitbull. I mean, also, if you want to go on the women's side too, we got Liz Carmouche, Chris Cyborg. And off the back of that, I mean, what they almost immediately announced, which what I was expecting, and I'm really glad that they did, is immediately after they said we acquired Bellator, they said that they are going to do a super fight card in 2024. Aww. Between the Bellator champions and the PFL champions fighting head to head, which is something that's like always been talked about. Like, oh, what if the PFL and UFC champions faced off and stuff like that? But we're actually getting these fights, which is going to be crazy. I mean, we haven't really seen too much in terms of what the actual fight card is going to look like. But in terms of just seeing like who's the best out of these kind of, I don't want to say lesser promotions, but promotions that maybe don't get as much attention as the UFC, it's something that's really, really exciting.
Absolutely. And I would love to see them carry out the same format as you were talking about earlier, maybe like an NBA style. I call it NBA because it resonates the most with basketball. Like seeding, who accumulates the most points, and then the playoffs. That would be absolutely amazing. It's something digestible. It's a format that everybody understands. It's not like how the in-season tournament in the NBA came and nobody understood. It's something digestible. It's going to be fun as hell. You get the best fight. Phil Davis is in the PFL. Phil Davis once upon a time was about to challenge John Jones for the light heavyweight championship, and he was a champion in Bellator too. So many great fighters. I think that would be the format that you would have to go to, and I'm excited. You know what? There's no such thing as a bad fight to me. A fight is a fight, and I don't care if it's in the UFC. I don't care if it's bare knuckle boxing. If it's a great fight, it'll sell. So I'm just excited to see what the PFL conglomerate now is able to produce.
Yeah, and one last thing I want to hit on is, I mean, like, at least I've seen on Twitter and social media, like, people really dogging these, you know, promotions, and it's always been like that, you know, being like, they can never match up to the UFC, and to a certain extent, that's 100% correct. The, you know, production value and just the level of fighters that they get, to be quite honest, isn't at the level of depth that the UFC is at. But despite that, I will say the cream of the crop of these lesser divisions go on to have amazing UFC careers. I mean, just look at somebody like Eddie Alvarez or Michael Chandler. So I think like coming out of this acquisition, we're going to just see a whole new level of MMA competition in terms of it just being entertaining while also, you know, technically really fun to watch. So I think overall, it's some great news. But going off the back of that, I just want to, you know, maybe talk about some dream matchups that we possibly could have. I'm already rubbing my hands like I'm so excited. The one I wanted to bring up to you is Ryan Bader versus Francis Ngannou, which could be a very, very interesting fight.
That's good. Ryan Bader coming from that heavy wrestling background. I know he was a D1 wrestler. I know he's awesome at that. And then Francis Ngannou, styles make fights. That's definitely fun. I like that
Yeah.
one. For me, you know what? Derek Brunson, that's another name. I want to see Derek Brunson again because once upon a time, he was a monster at middleweight until, of course, he fought Israel Adesanya and then from there went downhill. But if Derek Brunson could get in a ring with, again, I broke his name, Cedric Doumbé. I know Doumbé goes between welterweight and middleweight, if I'm not mistaken, but Cedric Doumbé is just amazing. I think he recently had a knockdown against Jordan Zebo, first round knockout. So if those two could go at it, that would be awesome. That's for me.
That would be an amazing fight, actually. I like that matchup. That's really, really cool. One last one I want to highlight, maybe Chris Cyborg versus kind of like the Ronda Rousey next level version and Kayla Harrison. I don't want to say next level because honestly, I think Ronda Rousey is a better version of that type of fighter. But still, overall, I mean, that's like a really tough test for Kayla Harrison, which I know everyone's been always talking about how she has no competition, just a can crusher. So that could also be another really, really fun fight.
I mean, Dana once upon the time said we're out of the Cyborg big business, but the PFL sure as hell is not. Just Cyborg, I loved her from her time in the UFC. And I hated how her run actually ended with that promotion because, you know, her beef with Dana and whatever, and she not being the golden child in Ronda. But Chris Cyborg's back. Kayla Harrison is a monster, and this is gonna be a real test for her. And it's gonna be a test for it would be a test for Chris Cyborg to say, I'm still here. I'm still the Chris Cyborg that you know and love. So that's a fantastic match right there as
Yeah,
well.
no, definitely. And I mean, yeah, she did have like a really bad end to her UFC career where like she kept asking for the Amanda Nunes rematch and never got it. And then Dana White just like basically shut the door on her face. So I'm glad that like now she has some potential for, you know, some actual super fights, gonna get more money in that bank account. And just overall, I mean, just glad to see her get a life, another stint in her career beyond the UFC.
Second act.
Oh yeah, 100%. But moving on though, that PFL event really amazing. Also, you know, in terms of the fights, but also news which we just talked about. But I want to move on to some UFC fight scheduling. And Dana White, I mean, I don't know, he does his like whole like Christmas giveaway thing, and people I've like seen online, you know, comparing him to like a weird Santa Claus. But I don't know. I guess he just loves dropping good news on holidays, because on Thanksgiving, we got some fantastic fight announcements. The biggest one I want to talk about here is Alexander Volkanovski. He is now officially scheduled to defend his featherweight belt against Ilia Topuria at UFC 298 on February 17th. That should be a really, really fun fight. And kind of soon after, from when he just got knocked out against Islam Makhachev. So that makes me a little bit worried. But Mahdi, are you excited for this fight?
You know what? There's going to be a heavyweight boxing match, and it's going to be like Alexander Volkanovski steps into, or like an NFL player is going to get injured, and Volkanovski's going to step in to like play offensive tackle. Listen, I love his work ethic. It's probably going to kill him in the long run, but this is why he's, I believe now he's ranked two, but this is why for some while he's been ranked number one. I mean, the best ability is availability. He's an active fighter. We love. He puts on a great show, win or lose. And I think, in my opinion, he's the best pure kickboxer in the entire promotion of the UFC. Like, he's just that real. Ilia Topuria is fun. He's a firecracker in every sense. He's an explosive striker. I love his stand-up game. He's everything. And he's a star in the making, too. He has a great social media presence. I don't know if he was going back with, I forget. I think it's, who's it?
Bryce
Brian
Mitchell,
Mitchell.
I think, right?
Bryce Mitchell, where he's sending him thirst traps and they're going back and forth, and he's fantastic on social media. He backs it up in the cage. That would be a fantastic fight. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it should be a really, really fun fight. But I will say, I do want to highlight that, I mean, Alexander Volkanovski is coming off of that knockout loss to Islam Makhachev, which I mentioned a couple minutes earlier, which means a lot coming into this fight going up against Ilia Topuria, who is a really, really scary striker at featherweight. Probably, I would say, the scariest striker next to somebody like Volkanovski or even like a Holloway at this point. Like, just how he's able to put power and pressure on people and just literally break them. I mean, we saw that in the Bryce Mitchell fight when that actually, you know, ended up happening. All the trash talk, you know, kind of gave way. And we actually saw that Ilia Topuria is the real deal. I mean, he'll put
Professional.
everything on the line and just melt you. And also, on top of that, extremely good on the ground, too. So anywhere you go in this fight, it's going to be really, really competitive, really, really fun. So I'm really, really excited for that one. But moving on, though, we got another fun fight, and that is, well, let me add some context. So originally we had Bobby Green versus Dan Hooker scheduled. That was going to be a fun fight, especially considering that Dan Hooker is now entering kind of like his whole blonde Brunson phase, kind of going back to like the whole Derek Brunson thing where he dyed his hair blonde and then went on this like crazy streak. Dan Hooker was kind of going on a bit of a slip himself, but, you know, dyed the hair blonde and went out and had a really, really tough fight against, actually, let me check just to make sure. Yeah, actually against Jalen Turner. Won that fight, and it was a really, really fun fight. But going off the back of that, he was scheduled against Bobby Green. It was going to be an exciting fight, new test for him, especially considering that Bobby Green is, you know, a fan favorite in the lightweight division. It sadly comes out that Dan Hooker is injured. He won't be able to compete in the fight. Everyone was like, this fight is ruined. Who is going to ever step in and actually, you know, fill that role and make it a fun fight? And Dana White announces on Thanksgiving, hey guys, Jalen Turner is answering that call. The guy who just lost to, the guy who just lost to Dan Hooker is now stepping in to fight Bobby Green, taking his slot essentially. So, Mahdi, I just want your takes on this fight. And are you excited with the new matchup? A little bit disappointed? What's your thoughts?
I mean, Bobby Green, at this point, he's grown into like a household name, right? It wasn't too long ago that we weren't talking about Bobby Green. He comes onto the scene and he puts together a little win streak. And it starts off with the, I want my money, I want my money, I want my money. And it just turns him into a super saint. And he goes on a crazy streak. Again, he's highlighted for being a high volume boxer in a sense. Like if he was in the ring as opposed to octagon, he'd have a really, really high work rate. And he knows how to put punches together. Jalen Green's really fun. I mean, 6'2", 6'3". I think Bobby Green is 5'8", 6'4", compared to 6'4", compared to like 5'8". He's fantastic. He knows how to use his legs. He's 13-7 in the MMA, 6-4 in the UFC. I mean, he has all the skills. He has great bones, the size, the athleticism, just the ability with his legs. This is going to be a very fun fight. And to tell you the truth, I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Turner was the guy that derailed, despite the fact that he lost to Dan Hooker, Hangman, who's always a tough like gatekeeper in this division. I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Turner was able to beat him.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I kind of agree with you there, because I think with MMA math, you know, we always talk about how like 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. If that guy beats that guy, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be, you know, the next guy. And I think that just the way that this fight stylistically matches up works out in Jalen Turner's favor way more than it does Bobby Green. I think that goes back to the height. Bobby Green is predominantly a striker. He doesn't really love going for takedowns or clinches, anything of that nature, really. So he's going to keep it standing. At least I think he will. And off the back of that, I think Jalen Turner's just his ability to reach, use kicks, just, you know, kind of those stabbing, piercing shots through jabs and straights. It's going to really cause a problem for Bobby Green, I feel like. And going into this fight, I think that it's going to make it a bit more interesting of a stylistic matchup than the Dan Hooker fight possibly was going to be. So personally, I felt like this kind of worked out for the fans all around. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that this is a big spot for Jalen Turner. And I mean, honestly, he kind of got bailed out considering that he just lost that fight to Dan Hooker. Yeah. He's getting another chance in another big slot against another big name. So, I mean, the sky's the limit. We'll see if he can actually get it done or not. Last thing I want to touch on, though, before we wrap up this quick episode, is there was also a boxing fight that happened this past weekend. Or not past weekend, more past week. And that was Shakur Stevenson stinking up the arena. Oh, my God. Personally, I wasn't able to watch this fight, sadly. Or actually, I guess not so sadly. Because Mahdi basically chewed off my ear earlier this morning saying how boring it was. And I was glad that I actually didn't watch it at that point. So, Mahdi, I want you to take the floor, talk about this fight, give some context for the listeners out there and just why, what this means for Shakur Stevenson's career heading forward.
You know, Devin Haney went on to say after the fight, now he gets 3% of what he would have gotten if he were to fight me at lightweight. Shakur Stevenson's a very young and a very astute, like, of the young guys, I imagine him to be, like, the smartest guy. Like, sitting down talking with Shakur Stevenson about boxing, you could see he's very intelligent, he's very cerebral about the game, which is why he's probably the sharpest of the young guys, of the Devin Haney's, of that Ryan Garcia, of that, like, set. he fought very ex he fought fought very like he fought cautiously, very, very cautiously. He didn't
Like
take any,
conservative.
very concerned, very concerned. And this is already a guy who has a reputation with no knockout power, who's not very exciting, who's not as big as a name as, say, a Tank Davis, who's probably the face of boxing right now. When you're looking to push the envelope against guys, you have to push the envelope. Like, you're challenging Devin Haney in his division for all of his belts, and you're demanding that you want a 50-50 split with the champ. You got to push the envelope. You got to make the crowd go wild. I know it's not about all the, it's not all about the knockout. The casual fan will tell you it is. I'll be telling you it isn't. But sometimes you got to put on a show. You got to put on a show. And he didn't do that against the dangerous Edwin de los Santos, that Puerto Rican could fight. And it was a good chance for Shakur to see what he could do. And I mean, I'm kind of getting the same impression I did when Devin Haney fought Lomachenko. Like, there was much to be desired for, and there was much left on the table. I wasn't really proud of this performance. I would like to see him do more.
Yeah, I mean, what we saw with like the Garcia Davis fight is that like that really landed in that. Like we saw all the answers that we kind of had, you know, we got answers for all the questions that we had in that fight and it really delivered. But with that Devin Haney versus Lomachenko fight, there's still like I feel at least between you and me, maybe not so much Riley because she loves Devin Haney. Sadly could not make it this episode. She will be with us next week. But I felt like that there was a lot of unanswered questions leaving that fight. And I think the same deal is with this Shakur Stevenson fight. Right now, he's 21-0. Less than half of those wins are by KO or TKO, which, I mean, again, this is lightweight. We don't really expect, especially in the boxing side, for, you know, you to go out and knock out every single opponent like you're Mike Tyson or, you know, a real hard hitter or anything like that. But at that same point, you got to make a fight entertaining, you know, and especially when you come out after the fight and you have to apologize to the crowd, that's just something that's embarrassing.
Apologize to Mayweather. You
Yeah.
apologize to Mayweather. That's like, never want to see that. And Shakur, again, he's a great fighter. Very, very smart. Very, very intelligent. I cannot stress his intelligence enough. Great combination puncher. He works that jab out of the southpaw position. Like, he's going to be a stud. But on the road to greatness, it's fights like this you want to avoid. You want to challenge a guy in his home, you got to come harder than this in the tuna fight, really.
Yeah, no, honestly, I mean, this was like a fight that like he should have really built his case to say like, hey, I deserve, you know, that extra cut in the Devin Haney fight. I really deserve that fight in general. And honestly, coming away from this fight, I don't think that, you know, that's really likely, honestly. I mean, like I still want to see the Stevenson versus Haney. I think that's the fight that everyone wants to see, to be honest, especially with, you know, the trash talk between each other. But also, I mean, I think that, you know, Stevenson needs to build up a bit more of a kind of a hype train per se, or just, you know, kind of a steady win streak that really, you know, comes knocking on the door of the champion. Because that is, you know, at the end of the day, what Devin Haney is for, you know, whether you like it or not, he's the guy that you got to beat and build up
Yeah.
a big record against. So, I mean, coming out of this fight, I don't think that Stevenson did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think this was a fight. Maybe he gets another fight in between, or maybe he just jumps into it. But what I can say is, this left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth, me personally.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'm personally glad that I did not watch it post facto. I mean, like, I remember missing it. And I was like, oh, I wish I saw that fight. After I talked to Mahdi, he was like, no. You're glad that you didn't see it. So I'm glad you changed my mind on that. But yeah, coming out of that, I think that'll just about wrap up this episode of Pound for Pound. Make sure to watch our episode. Actually, you know, just a couple days from now, next week, we'll be breaking down the UFC Fight Night, which is Beneil Dariush versus Armin Saryukin, which is a very, very fun fight. Beneil Dariush coming back after his knockout loss to Charles Oliveira, which I may have shed a tear or two over. We'll get into it next week. But despite that, I do want to say a massive thank you to my great co-host, Mahdi Dembele. And we will see Riley Lucas next week. She wasn't able to make this episode. And also another thank you to our producer for this week, Ralph Barbieri. I've been Andrew Craneri, and Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports.